It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
And we are live here on a Monday afternoon from Studio 31 at City National Arena for Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. And streaming all across the VGK digital channels, Justin Russo, Jamie Hirsch with you here today to take you through the next hour and the Golden Knights preparing to host the Carolina Hurricanes. But Jamie, this is your Nighttime at Noon debut. How does it feel to be in the seat for the first time?
It feels great. I'm pumped up. Let's go. We've got the Carolina Hurricanes in town, one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, taking on one of the best teams in the West in the Vegas Golden Knights, who are perfect at home still. I was working the last home game, actually, and it was a little tougher, right? They had to go to overtime to preserve that undefeated streak at home, but they sure did, and now they're 8-0, and their numbers are jaw-dropping at home.
Yeah, jaw-dropping indeed, and I like what you mentioned there about fighting a way back at home. They had to do that a little bit on the most recent road trip against Edmonton and Seattle. We'll get to that in just a second here. I want to let you know we're going to have Gary Brunetti joining the show in just a bit. He is a U.S. Army veteran and assistant coach of the 10U Cavalry in the Vegas Hockey League right here at City National Arena. And we'll also have Bruce Cassidy's press conference audio from Morning Skate to get you set for tonight's game against Carolina. But, you know, Jamie, going back to that road trip, they pick up 3 out of 4, and I think after the game against Seattle, while they did get that point, the general consensus around the locker room seemed to be, we could have picked up that extra. We wanted all 4.
Yeah, I talked to a bunch of guys yesterday who said they feel like they let it slip away. And it's too bad, because you go back to that road trip where they went through Florida, right, and ended up not coming away with a win in either of those three or any of those three games. And in 2 of those games, they led really late, and they felt the same way. Like, they let it slip away. And so it's kind of... I think it's a bit deceiving when you look at their road numbers and their road record, because I feel like they deserved better in 2 of those 3 games.
Sure.
You know, they didn't play well in Washington. We know that. They didn't deserve to win that one. But they did deserve to win the Tampa game, let it slip away late. Florida, you could say the same thing. They got the 1 point in overtime in Florida. But now, you know, you look at this most recent road trip, and they would have loved to have 2 wins.
Yep.
They do feel like, you know, at least we got a point because they were able to tie it up late. But they had a 2-0 lead. That's the part that you feel bad about, that you let that slip away. And so that's how they're looking at it. But then they come home, and they've got, you know, all kinds of confidence at home. That's one of the biggest takeaways for the whole NHL so far, is how good Vegas is at home.
8-0 at home so far, and I think – for that Seattle game as well, a lot of the guys mentioned, and Bruce Cassidy certainly mentioned it, that this was a Seattle team that had been on the road, and they were in a similar situation coming back home, like the Golden Knights found themselves in after that first road trip, where they came back home, they're feeling a little more comfortable, and they're able to get that win there. But, you know, going back to the Edmonton game, though, there was so much made going into that game of the struggles on the road for the Golden Knights, and I think it was more so on the outside than the inside, because it was such a small sample size, and the guys thinking, okay, we'll get things going here eventually. But I think that game was cathartic, if you will, for the Golden Knights, and the way they did it as well coming back in the third.
Absolutely. And anytime you can get 2 points in the division, I mean, that's huge. And especially the fact that they weren't really probably expecting to face Connor McDavid. Remember, his initial timeline was 2 to 3 weeks, and I think it ended up being just over 1 week, and he was indeed back on the ice in time to face Vegas. But that makes you feel even better, right? Like, Aiden Hill, I talked to him yesterday. He said the same thing. He's like, I'm glad Connor was back, because then, you know, I felt better about it. All the guys felt better about it. Like, this is a tough team. This is the defending Western Conference champions, the Edmonton Oilers. And they took them down in their barn, 4-2. It got their first road win of the season, and then, you know, backed up with 1 point in Seattle. So this is a tough month. Like, we've talked about it for a long time now here around these parts, that this is going to kind of be a make or break month, not of the season, but certainly in terms of how they feel about their road game, because there are 9 games in the month of November that are going to take place away from Global Arena. They've gone through 2 of them now, and so they still have quite a few coming up. And the dad's trip is this next one, which should be really exciting. That usually lends itself a bit of a boost for the team.
Yeah, and you'd think so, too. But the guys always seem to be more comfortable when the dads are around, getting family in town. We heard from William Carlson on the radio side of things, saying his family was going to be in town for 10 days, and then his dad would go on the dad's trip as well. But, you know, looking at that Seattle game as well, and in terms of the individuality and some of the key pieces for the Golden Knights, a lot was made of Mark Stone not being in that game and what that meant for the VGK. But, boy, you look at Nick Waugh stepping into that role, and Bruce Cassidy's decision to not move too many pieces around. He moved Nick Waugh up to keep things down the lineup pretty even. But what can you say about Nick Waugh's performance in that game? A couple of points early on.
I mean, there's so much to say about him, because this is a guy that spent the bulk of his career on a fourth line, right? But we've known that this is one of the best fourth lines in hockey.
Yeah.
And so what happens when one of your top six goes down? You elevate a guy from the fourth line to the first line. And, you know, we know that anyone who plays with Jack is going to be better, right? You're going to have the Jack effect, and you're probably going to get a few extra points just because you're with Jack Eichel, who's one of the elite players right now in the game. But Nick Waugh, I've been really impressed with just everything about him, how he's handled himself, and certainly the leadership aspect that we've seen him, you know, kind of take an even bigger role in the room this year, I think. So the fact that he's getting rewarded for all of that with top line minutes, and certainly rewarded in terms of the score sheet as well, I think is really exciting, and can't wait to see him back on there tonight.
And a guy that gives them another center option on that top line, and it just makes things so much easier for Jack Eichel as well. We've heard it talked about on the second line with Tomas Hertl and Brett Howden, how Hertl can play down low a little bit more. He can feel a little bit more comfortable, maybe not having to get out of that offensive zone quick enough, because Brett Howden can overtake those center responsibilities coming down the ice, and he can be a little bit more comfortable. And it just gives them so many more options on the top six, with Nick Waugh and Brett Howden up there. But, you know, we count Nick Waugh in a group of players among Keegan Kolesar, Nick Waugh, Brett Howden, Pavel Dorofeev, guys that were counted on to step up in the absence of a lot of guys from last season, and it just continued. We mentioned a couple of points for Nick Waugh, but again, another goal for Pavel Dorofeev in Seattle, up to 8 now.
That's incredible. Yeah, leads the team, right? And Barbashev had that title for almost all the season. He slowed down just a little bit, but meanwhile, it's been Dorofeev stepping up, and that's exactly what you need when you go through the grind of an 82-game regular season, and certainly down the stretch when you start playoffs and try to go all the way to the Stanley Cup final. You need depth scoring. That was the difference a couple years ago when Vegas won the Stanley Cup. They were the deepest team in hockey. You know, they were healthy at the right time. And if they can find that kind of depth scoring too now, it's funny because it's not even as much depth scoring. They need those guys, like you said, to produce. It's a salary cap world, and guys are going to leave every single year. And so if you can kind of grow and cultivate that growth for the bottom six, and then when they have the opportunity, you just hope for the best for them. And Brett Howden, oh my gosh, I mean, how much can
incredible.
We talk about him? Because he's been incredible all season long, in the last home game especially, when he had 3-4 chances, eventually scored that massive goal, fresh legs off the bench in overtime. I mean, it's such a good story. And that's one of the things that I love about covering hockey, right, is looking for the good stories and cheering for the guys behind the players themselves on the ice. And so when you see Brett Howden and the road he's taken to be here, and then now being rewarded with an incredible couple of moments so far this season, but certainly lots of minutes on the ice as well.
And I think that speaks to allowing some of these players to grow over the years, right? You see some of the guys go out that left from last season, and you just have an inclination to say, oh, we got to go get a 40-goal scorer. We got to go get this guy. We got to go get that guy to replace him. But they allowed all these guys to naturally more come into their roles, be it on the ice or in a leadership role off the ice as well, and they're paying dividends right now for this team.
Yeah, they sure are. And it's funny, I talked to Keegan Kolesar maybe a week or so ago and asked him kind of what he's learned through the first chunk of the season, and he said, I think we learned that we answered questions about where the offense was going to come from, because that was the biggest question mark all offseason. Everyone around the league is saying, how is Vegas going to find the offense? Well, that's been answered, right? They're second right now in terms of goals per game with 4.36. We talked about their numbers at home, 8-0, but beyond that, they have a goal differential at home of plus 24. It's
incredible.
Yeah, 5.38 goals per game for the Vegas Golden Knights at home right now. It's ridiculous, kind of video game numbers. And so that question has certainly been answered.
Yeah.
And it's not a small sample size anymore. I mean, we're a month plus into the season now. So we've been able to see kind of the peaks and valleys of this team. And the goal scoring is there on a nightly basis.
And things trending in the right direction for the likes of Brett Howden, the likes of Pavel Dorofeev to hit career highs this year. And I think that's that question being answered was so big, because you expect a Bruce Cassidy team to be able to figure it out defensively, right? We hear from Bruce Cassidy from day one in training camp. He wants to instill that defensive mentality in the team, and he wants it to be second nature when they're defending during the season. And some of those questions were on the goal-scoring department, and to have that kind of well-rounded game already this early in the season, they have some things they want to work on defensively. They know it. Bruce Cassidy talked a bit about the rush defense after the game in Seattle that he wanted to clean up. But I think just to have that game all around, and just like last year, to be able to stack some of the points and just bank those points that they did early on can help you through some of the struggles that you might find later on that you just go through the course of the season.
Yeah, and I did get to ask Coach yesterday about the defense and where he sees it, and if he sees it from like an effort perspective, there's something lacking, or if it's just an execution mentality. And he said he has seen strides in the defensive game, certainly from the first few games of the season. And you expect that. You expect it to take some time. But I think that is one of the kind of points of contention right now, is that they really need to be better at defending the stretch pass. And Carolina, Look no further than tonight's opponent. Oh, yeah. To talk about speed and trying to, you know, clamp down and get that rush defense really solidified, because this is going to be a challenge for Vegas for sure. They're a fast team too, right? The Golden Knights are, but they kind of do it differently. Carolina stretches the ice a bit more, and so it's definitely going to be a good test. But I think in talking to some of the players, they know that, you know, they know exactly how Carolina plays, and they're ready for it. So it should be a really fun contest tonight.
And I think a good combination of a Golden Knights team that recognizes the opponent and a team that is not feeling so good about what they did on Friday against Seattle. They wanted that extra point. They didn't get it. And now they want to come back and pick up a couple on home ice against the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. We will get back to some more Golden Knights talk in a little bit. We'll have Gary Brunetti joining the show in just a moment on our next segment. But before we take a break, I want to let you know that if you're in need of some VGK gear, you can keep your closet ready to go for the next VGK game by visiting the Arsenal at City National Arena or VegasTeamStore.com for all the VGK gears. We have a jersey being shown off by Gary right there on the side. Check out VGK gear on Instagram and X for all the latest updates and deals on all Golden Knights gear. Rep your team with pride at the VGK Team Store. Back with more in a moment on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome back into Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. And though we're here on Fox Sports Las Vegas right now, I want to let you know you can watch your Vegas Golden Knights this season on Nighttime Plus. Download Nighttime Plus today on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or TV to watch the Golden Knights live. Nighttime Plus delivers all locally televised games on Scripps Sports, as well as bonus content created throughout the season. Download and subscribe now to tune in all season long. Welcome back here on Nighttime at Noon. Wishing you all well on this Veterans Day. And we have Gary Brunetti joining the show, U.S. Army veteran, assistant coach of the 10U Cavalry in the Vegas Hockey League right here at City National Arena.
Yes, sir.
A lot we want to get to, Gary. But, you know, first of all, wishing you well on this Veterans Day. And how are you today?
It's my pleasure and honor. I'm absolutely fantastic. Had a great morning. We actually just finished putting up our U.S. flag in the front yard. My boys helped me cement it in the ground last night. And we actually had them raise it this morning and everything for the first time in our yard. And the boys and my wife took me out for breakfast. I'm doing good. Aww. So I'm happy. I'm full. And now I'm here with you guys.
And tonight you're going to go to a Golden Knights hockey game. I mean, what could be better than that?
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yes, and I want to thank you for your service, too. I mean, we're just so in awe of all of our veterans out there. And it shouldn't just be one day. And always, we appreciate everything that you've done
It was my pleasure and an honor to serve. So.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, and your family for the sacrifice. We got to ask you about what you're wearing, because it's incredible. I mean, we see the shield of the Golden Knights, but there's so much more to this. Hopefully we can pick up some of the details of this. Can you explain everything to us?
Yes, ma'am. So I walked into the Arsenal the other day, and this was when these jerseys, the Salute to Service jerseys, just came out. And my wife always purchases me one each year for Veterans Day. God bless her. She's awesome. She's my angel. So her name's Tanisha, by the way. And my boys are Michael and Malachi.
Nice.
Got to shout them out.
Yes, indeed I do. And we saw this, and I saw the colors, and they immediately reminded me of my grandfather, who served in World War II. Flying B-17 bombers, he was 19 years old.
Wow.
His name is Jack D. Ruggles. And it just reminded me of their tan and browns and their uniforms back then. And it just really warmed my heart. So I immediately picked that up, and my wife got it for me. And I wanted to dedicate it to him.
Aww.
So some of the patches on here, this patch right here, is the 390th Bombardment Group. This is in England, and there's a castle here, so it's not too far from this castle that their air strip and things were.
Wow.
He would have been this year 100 years old this month. And then here we have his squadron patch.
So cool.
And that's that right there is a panther riding one of the bombs down. And if I may, stand up.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Whatever.
And show it off.
The squadron number is on the back.
Nice.
With his name.
And the TH.
Yeah.
I love it.
And
the
TH.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So it's been an extreme blessing for me to be able to put this together. And not just for my grandfather, but to honor all the veterans that have served, as my family and stuff does for me. Because it's... like you said, it'd be great if we could have it every day of the year and just honor not just the vets that came home, but the veterans that weren't able to make it home. And my heart goes out to all those families as well. But yeah, it's been great. And just walking out after I searched out all these, the patches and everything, I showed it to Adam Miller downstairs, and he just so happened to say, "Hey, I just got a call. Would you want to do an interview and represent veterans and their service and everything they've given for this country?" And I was like, "Absolutely. I just, what better way to honor my grandfather?" It just, things just happen.
Yes, they do.
And I, I'm very grateful for that. So, and so I'm here.
Yes, you are.
I might, since we are able to zoom in a little bit, I can show a picture of my grandfather when he was a pilot.
Yeah, you were showing some of the, some of the documents to us before you hopped on air.
And might come across.
Yeah, there you go. Look at that.
Yeah, there you go. You can see. Oh, wow.
And then,
there we go.
And then, if I may, there's one more photo of actually he and his squad in front of their aircraft.
Oh,
my grandfather's
so cool.
The tallest guy in there.
Okay.
And, easy to pick out of the bunch.
Yeah, and the name of their aircraft was Organized Confusion. That's what they named it.
All right.
Hopefully less organized confusion on the ice tonight for the Golden Knights at the very least.
Absolutely. We need some of that organized disconfusion. Or
more on the organizational side.
Exactly.
You know, but you bring up some of those pictures and some of those points that you were showing us earlier as well. And, you know, how important is it for you and your family to kind of have those and to hold on to those in remembrance of your grandfather and be able to honor him in that way?
Wow, there's no words to describe because not only was my grandfather a veteran in World War II, he raised me more than my real father. I was he was the main influence in my life. He was in Las Vegas Police Department here when it was just raise your right hand and take the oath, and here's your badge, here's your gun. And so he was an inspiration for me also to serve 25 years with North Las Vegas PD in the Detention Bureau. And so just to have these things and having this jersey made, it's meant a lot, not just to me, but my grandmother, Amy, his wife, and his son, Matthew, my uncle, who is actually younger than I am.
Oh, interesting.
And my brothers and my wife and my kids, getting to know him through this. My 10-year-old boys were not able to know him.
Yeah.
But my oldest boy, he's 32, and he knew my grandfather. So, and my mother, his daughter, it's been a whole family-oriented process.
Yeah.
And it's just a neat memory and going over his life and his accomplishments and what he's meant to me and my family and just overall, he was a great, great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy. He would, I guarantee he would have loved the Golden Knights.
Of course. Yeah. Vegas born. He's a Vegas guy.
Well, actually, he came from California.
Well, I mean, Vegas born, the Golden Knights.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
But you know what?
He would have adopted him.
Yeah. He would have adopted him. Absolutely. Just like our family did.
Yeah. Well, that's so great that you're able to keep his memory alive and certainly honor him in such a beautiful way on this Veterans Day.
Yes, ma'am.
I do want to get your take on some hockey stuff because you're a hockey coach in your own right, right? Your boys
I'm
play.
I'm a hockey assistant coach.
Okay.
But yeah, my boys have been
playing.
It all
counts. It all counts.
I don't claim to be a know-it-all, so
where did they play when did you really first fall in love with the game of hockey too?
Well, okay, first off, I was born in Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
So I could have been, I'm a Bronco fan.
All right. We'll forgive
Bronco
that
fan.
For now.
It's okay. We'll forgive.
But I could have been a Avalanche fan for years and years and years, but I've been here for about 51 years of my life. But I never watched hockey. The Knights came to town, and at that time, my boys were about three years old.
Yeah.
And they saw it, and they fell in love with the hockey.
Cool.
And I remember watching the games, and my goalie, Michael, he fell in love with Fleury.
As we all did.
He fell in love. He was the face of the team, man. He was the man. He still is the man. I'm looking forward to seeing him around again. I guess he's probably supposed to be moving to Vegas.
Yeah, I think I heard that too. Yeah. He retires, but you know, future
Hopefully,
Hall of Famer for sure.
Come on, Fleury. We need some goalie camps. Can you do it for us? That'd be awesome. But my 3-year-old boys, they would be on the mat in front of the TV.
Yeah.
And Michael, my goalie, would be mimicking all the moves of Fleury.
That's cool.
And his brother, Malachi, he fell in love with Tuck. And he would be mimicking the moves. And Michael and Malachi, they'd be going over and talking like the announcers. And here he comes. He's coming down the wall. And he shoots. He scores. Ah! And they're all over the place, right?
Yeah. That's where it starts.
Yeah. And so they were loving it. And then after we took them to their first game, this is about a couple years later.
Yeah.
We're sitting there in the stands, and there's everything's going off, the music and lights and this, that, and the other, and they're like, "Whoa, this is amazing," and it's like loud, and then everything gets quiet when they drop the puck, and they're like, they're looking around, they're like, "Mom, Dad, where are the voices?" They were so used to hearing the announcers. Yeah.
That's where they get to start practicing on their own. Yeah. And who knows? Maybe one day they'll be broadcasters
too.
Get them
on this desk anytime soon. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. That'd be amazing. I know Michael and Malachi, they want to start refereeing. They want to learn how to ref
Good
games
for
as
them.
Well.
Yes.
Which they'll learn more. That's what they want to do. Yeah. So, but yeah, they've been in the program. We started Learn to Skate after they fell in love with the game over at the Knights Learn to Skate program when it was at Fiesta in the Sobey Arena.
Okay.
And then it became the Pepsi and so on and so forth. Now it's Hilo. But we started it over there, and then about a year into it, COVID hit.
Yeah.
And then we were all in during COVID with the mask and having to stay in and everything. And then we found out, I don't remember what year it was or how long it was actually, we found out that CNA opened back up. So we got the boys and we brought them down here because we wanted to get them back in before, you know, it's a perishable skill, right? If you're off the ice for so long.
Got to get back on,
Got to keep at it.
You got to knock off that rust, right? But we got them back over here and we got them back in to learn to skate. And they were in rental skates at that time. So I threw some skates on them. And they went out there, and they're falling all over the place. And I'm like, come here. I brought them over because they moved them down in that same day. And I'm like, come here, boys. What's going on? And I looked down at their skates, and I realized I had put figure skates on them.
Ooh, a little different.
So they were getting their toes caught on the toe picking.
Yeah.
So they were all over the ice. If you would have sprayed them down and put a brush on them, they could have zambonied it.
But you know what? That's so great because they persevered through that, and now they are playing, you know, in hockey skates, I assume.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I purchased them, so we don't have to use the rental skates anymore.
I think that's just – it's such a similar story to so many people in this town that just fell in love with the Golden Knights, like yourself, where you didn't really take in hockey that much, but then they came into town and just took over this entire city. And
yes,
so for yourself, too, how did you find when the Golden Knights came here? How did you take to hockey? And what were you looking at in some of your favorite players when it was early on?
Well, I fell in love with Fleury.
Yeah.
And I really liked Tuck. And really just kind of fell in love with the whole team. Mm-hmm. Especially after the shooting that happened and everything and how they really reached out to our community. There were a lot of people that were affected by that. And they took the time and put forth the effort to reach out to people in the community and do blood drives and just let us know that they were there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were very, very thankful for that. So they Vegas Strong and all and all that. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
That really touched me as well. But I don't know. It was just, I just fell in love with the game. Not only is it a great game, it helped me also understand soccer.
Hey.
Because a lot of stuff is set up.
Yeah.
There's
I hated soccer. Now
yeah.
I can watch soccer and kind of understand what's going on. But the whole game and the players, what I found over these last, what, seven, going into, what, 8 years now?
Yeah, this is eight.
It's
season eight.
Yep. And that over all the sports, I think hockey players and such are the least prima donna-ish sports figures in sports.
Yeah. Absolutely. I've covered a lot of sports, and I definitely agree with you that is so true.
They're
so
more down to earth.
Yes.
Yeah, they're more down to earth. And, you know, Fleury at one point in time recorded a message for my wife. She's an administrator at K. Carl Elementary School. Hmm. And one of her staff was retiring, and he recorded a really nice message for her. Hey, happy retirement, and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
It was just a voice message, but brought her to tears when his face popped up. And the audio started.
Yeah.
And wonderful retirement. Just things like that.
Yeah.
You know, that they'll reach out and they'll do for folks.
Yeah.
Reeves, I mean, it's
so many players too. Like you mentioned Fleury, and he's one of the best, but there's Jack Eichel continues to do amazing work in the community. He's got his own foundation here that I know he comes back in the summer and does camps and everything for the local boys and girls. The softball game that they've got going on between them and the Raiders, that's just grown into such a great fundraiser for some really great causes. So you're right. I mean, it's so wonderful when we as just fans and people can have these heroes on the ice end up stepping up and being just wonderful people and making you feel special too. That's so great.
I got to put a suggestion in. Softball game. Let's make it when it's a little cooler outside. Yeah.
Baseball, softball, they're summer sports. But I hear you.
I know, right?
I hear you.
It's tough out there in the summer heat. Yeah,
exactly.
I had a note here, Gary, for you. That,
yes, sir.
You sang the anthem at the championship
for
the Armed Services Tournament?
Yes, I did. I was very fortunate and blessed to be able to do that. Great organization for the veterans and their families and such, and they reach out throughout many communities.
Yeah.
And they asked me to sing the anthem, and that was amazing. I went out on the ice, and I started singing, and the microphone died.
Uh-oh.
So I kept it up there because I didn't realize it at first, but it echoes pretty well on the ice and everything.
Yeah, built it out.
And then several of the players came, and they said, we started singing with you softly and whatnot, and some of them said we started tearing up. And you know what? That's just whenever I hear it and I'm not singing it, it brings an emotional time to you.
Yeah.
It helps you reflect on things and remember not just your service but others that served before you and everything that's gone into the armed forces. Mm-hmm. Every one of them. I know all of them, we make fun of each other and we take shots at each other and everything, but when it all comes down to it, when your feet hit the sand, you're all together,
mm-hmm.
and you're all going towards the same goal, and you're working mm-hmm. together as a family.
Mm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And, so it was an honor to sing that. I sing it for the Aviators as well sometimes, and UNLV hockey and the Running Rebs basketball and baseball sometimes.
Awesome. This guy, a man of
many talents.
Multi-talented,
yes.
I'm hoping to one day sing it at a Knights game.
Maybe. Dreams do come true.
Yes. They could.
That
they
would be
could.
Great. We've got golden pipes, but, you know, maybe every now and then he needs a night off. We'll see. Who
maybe.
Knows?
Maybe a duet. We can get something.
Duet?
Going.
Oh, I can sing a harmony part to it.
That'd be great. Awesome. Well, it is BGK Military Appreciation Night tonight, and
yes,
I know
ma'am.
You're going to be there with your family, right?
Yes,
so
ma'am.
You talk about that anthem, and I'll be thinking of you as we listen to that anthem tonight. Cause
oh,
it should
you're,
be.
I'm going to sing it?
I'll think of you as we all.
Trying to get his way in the door.
This is where it starts.
Hey, can't blame him there.
It's going to be a great night, though, and I can't wait.
It is. I'm looking forward to seeing all the veterans because then normally they have them stand up and they acknowledge them, and I'm looking forward to seeing all the faces of not just the military personnel that were there, not just veterans, but active duty and all of the families, the wives or husbands or and families that have dealt with the many, many deployments that they go out on. And those families, they are so reliant on the community.
Mm-hmm.
And for the community, they just remember those families because the wives and children, they're without their parent or the husbands and children or without their spouse and their mom or dad during those deployments. And to be able to reach out to them and just say, hey, you know what, we're here for you. If you're a neighbor, give them a hug, see if they need anything, and just be there for them. Be a community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing.
And it's certainly going to be a special night at the Fortress tonight. Last one for you, Gary. Simple one. What's the final score tonight?
I don't care what the final score is as long as we put a W in the box there.
That's right, all that matters. 2 points on the board for the Golden Knights sounds good to me.
Hey, as many as it takes. Whatever number it takes, that's all we ask for.
Well, they're averaging about 5.5 goals per game at home right now. So,
yeah,
right.
And more than Mary.
And look at what we normally do in the third period now. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
It makes you want to keep watching, for sure.
Hopefully they can just keep adding on to that lead in the third period and hopefully get a couple of points. Gary, so great talking to you. Thanks for joining us today.
It's been my
pleasure. Thanks for showing off the jersey and everything. It's been a great time.
Yes, sir.
That was Gary Brunetti, U.S. Army veteran. We'll be back with more in a moment here on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back here on Nighttime at Noon, Justin Russo, Jamie Hirsch with you. And before we get into our next segment, I want to let you know that if you can't get enough Knights hockey, the Henderson Silver Knights are on the ice at Lee's Family Forum this season. With ticket options fit for any group, witness the next generation of Golden Knights live. Visit hendersonsilverknights.com to purchase your tickets. Jamie, we just had a great chat with Gary Brunetti, U.S. Army veteran, took us through the entire jersey and all the patches and everything. Great conversation with him. Just so cool to talk to a guy like that.
So cool, and I also love that we got into his hockey fandom and when that began, and because that's such a familiar tale for people around here. Yeah. And you said you're a local guy yourself, so you know it well as well. I just moved here in July, and I remember when we bought our house, we were like, we can't go anywhere in Summerlin without seeing Golden Knights flags, jerseys, t-shirts, hats. We have our own little, you know, license plate or whatever. Yeah. I see them all over town, bumper stickers. And so I think they did it right in the sense that, you know, they got into the market and they got people to pay attention, obviously, by what they did on the ice, but more importantly, off the ice. And the way the players rallied around this community after October 1st and the way that they continue to support in the community and really just be a key factor, opening up practices here at City National Arena. That's incredible. A lot of teams have no interest in letting fans see their practice and see their morning skate. And so that was a really revolutionary idea in some ways when the Golden Knights came to town. And I think they've been rewarded heavily by it with the kind of love that they have with the fan base.
Yeah, certainly. The Golden Knights and this city, just synonymous now. Mm-hmm. They are one, it feels like, those two entities there. And for the Golden Knights, another big game coming up later tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop at the Fortress against the Carolina Hurricanes. And after morning skate, we had Bruce Cassidy chat with the media.
Well, I always enjoy it. I mean, I'm fortunate my age group, we didn't have to, you know, you volunteered if you want to go to war. There was a time where we didn't have that luxury. In fact, I'm reading a book right now. It's called The Women by Kristen Hanna. It's about Vietnam. So it's tough times, this particular book. But there's a fella here today with his son from Winnipeg who was a doctor in the Canadian Forces, and he's retired now. So great to see him. We appreciate his service like many around the world, basically, U.S., Canada. So for me, I'm very thankful and appreciative. And he had his son with him, and he was a big Mark Stone fan. If you can always kind of put a smile on someone's face to help him out, that's nice. And I'm glad our players appreciate that and do their part in the community. So here we are.
What do you expect from Carolina tonight? They obviously got off to a really good start.
I expect they'll play a very direct game. They are a team that they're not unique because, you know, there's teams that play fast, but they are probably a little more of a press than you'll ever see in terms of a full court man-to-man all over the ice. So teams will have hybrids of it and do it in D-zone, maybe not all over, but they're on their toes all the time. So can you catch them in between? Yes, but the puck has to do the work. And it has to move quick, and you got to support pucks quick. So it's a little different approach. You're probably not making the east-west plays. You might make a lot of nights against a team like Carolina. The players have to accept that quickly. And it's tough over when you're playing 1 of 82 because you're telling them, and the game's half over, and they realize, oh, yeah, he's right. They are. And all of a sudden, it's 3-0. And so I, you know, hopefully seeing them enough that they'll buy into it early and get it moving. I thought we played them very well here last year. I think we gave up a shorty. Up in Carolina, we weren't good last year. So they have some experience with that style of play, and they're playing well. But, I mean, Colorado just got five on them, plus an empty netter. So Listen, there's like every team, there's areas you can attack, and we have to make sure we're mindful of the areas that we can attack. And that, to me, is winning your puck battles on the walls, get going from boards to middle or boards behind their D, and then winning some races. And you should get some opportunities off the rush. Cutbacks in the O zone, that's a lot of man-to-man, so you got to be willing to be deceptive, have some poise with the puck, and do some things one-on-one to create your shot or a better play. Well, they just got to be on your toes in terms of pucks are coming from every direction. Some teams might be thinking, oh, they're going to cycle it one more time, or they're going to make it's going to the net fairly quickly. Will there be one or two passes before it does? Absolutely. Do they have guys like Aho and, you know, Neck? I always say his name wrong. Natchez, that it will hold it a little longer. But in general, that's their D. It's usually goes low to high. You better be ready to box out, get under sticks. Our goalie better be ready to control this rebound and fights from traffic. So that's a little more, there's a little more of that directness than maybe if you play another team that's looking to make an east-west play. There's just more downhill into the net.
Bruce, you guys are running the table at home. How are you and Castle Ice? How have you been able to do that?
Scored a lot. We've scored a lot at home. We've come back. We were down against Utah. We're down against Ottawa. So we're never out of it because you can score. And obviously we've defended well enough to win as well. But it seems like we're creating more offense in this building than maybe we have in the road, or finishing better, but maybe a better word.
Hills and Nets,
yes. Well, Will's game's not going to change who he plays with, personally. Although I did see him score a one-timer goal, so I didn't see a lot of that here. So I'll have a chat with him about that. Maybe I was using him in the wrong spot. He was an elbow guy. He was usually scoring goals by driving wide and getting low and getting leverage and getting to the net and getting second chances. So, but that hasn't changed. He's going to finish his checks. He plays hard. He plays a clean game. And he's going to attack the net with outside speed. And he's going to do that no matter what his line mates do. So for me, I think, and I think Will has been around the league long enough that he probably has those conversations with how he likes to play with his line mates, and they probably have a conversation back. That's hockey, but at the end of the day, he'll want pucks dumped into his side so he can finish some checks and create some turnovers and anxiety for our D.
Why is your team so good when the fathers are ready?
Well, I mean, I don't know, because I would say to you that is our record in line with the rest of the league? Because I think the simplest answer to me is everyone wants to make their parents proud, right? Father and mother and siblings for that matter. So that's one of the things. Maybe we got a real supportive group of dads. They seem like they all get along very well. So as the team does, so do they when they're at dinner. But I would think it's a simple matter of you always want to play well, but it's a little extra motivation when your dad's there, and especially you get a lot of fathers that in their generation have probably driven a lot of miles, a lot of hotel rooms over the years. So I think they probably appreciate that now, that maybe it's something as simple as their dads now. They're not going through all of that yet, but they will be soon. And they can put things in perspective. That would be my simplest answer. I don't have a great answer for, well, we just happen to execute better. I think our guys just, they want to win for their dads. I think it's as simple as that. No, he's not going to play on this upcoming trip. I think he's turning the corner a little bit. So, he's still a ways away. Let him get on the ice with us. But he's getting closer. I know that's pretty generic, but that's where he's at. That's a good question. I don't have the answer. He won't play tonight. He'll probably have to come in tomorrow. I would say yes off the top of my head, but I'll find that out tomorrow.
Comments there from head coach Bruce Cassidy. And and before the Golden Knights take on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. Jamie, you know, you look at some of the things that he says, and talking about the direct game that the Golden Knights have to play, no east-west, and you talked about some of the fast play that the Carolina Hurricanes have on both ends, and it's going to be tough for the Golden Knights to defend.
Yeah, we'll be tough. I mean, this is the team, the Carolina Hurricanes, that have the best record right now in the Eastern Conference. They're 10-3. Only Winnipeg has a better record across the National Hockey League. And so, again, this is, if you're a player, I've never met a player that's one to shy away from competition, right? Like, you are a competitor by trade, by love, everything. Like, you want to play the best players. You want to play the best teams. And you want to have the chance to come away with a big win. And so that's what they're going to try to do tonight. If they can stay undefeated at home and take down, because let's be real, some of the teams they've played are not some of the best teams in the National Hockey League. Some of those home wins are still impressive, but they're against teams like Ottawa, like Anaheim. You can throw Utah into the mix of that. This is the best team in the Eastern Conference right now tonight. And if they take them down at home, that is a heck of a way to go into a two-game road trip on a high note.
Certainly, and for the Golden Knights, you know, I've used the word hot for the Carolina Hurricanes this week. It's hard to use that word when the Jets are 14-1 right now, so it's a little tough, but they still are one of the better teams, as you mentioned, and, you know, especially with a guy like Marty Nature, second star of the week last week, sandwiched in between Ovechkin and Crosby. Didn't get some of the headlines with those two making the list, but a Carolina team that, hungry after that 8-game win streak snapped against Colorado, they want to come back and get a win, and they have already picked up a handful of wins against some Pacific Division competition as well, so a big
one tonight. By the way, you mentioned the three stars. Did you know that that was the first time ever in 20 seasons that Crosby and Ovi were both three stars of the week? I mean, that just seems crazy because they're so, I mean, they're Hall of Famers, they're two of the best to ever play the game, but they've never both been great in the same week.
They give each other the shine. Sid'll take it 1 week, then it's, you know, they just alternate maybe.
Yeah, and speaking of Ovi, by the way, I mean, he just keeps going. The guy has 10 goals on the season, and I was
unreal.
I feel like I should have learned by now, but every year I'm an Ovi doubter. I will admit that. Because I'm like, there's no way. The guy's almost 40 years old.
Father time's
got to
come for everyone, right?
There's no way he can put up another 40-goal season, is what I'm saying. So I'm like, I don't think he gets the record this year. Now, he is on pace to clear that record by a lot. And so, you know, I forget exactly how many he needs. I think he's somewhere around 31 to tie, I think,
and
32 to take over as the all-time leading goal scorer in NHL history. But I go back, you know, 3-4 years ago, and we were laughing at the conversation, at the notion that this was even possible. We're like, stop. Stop. No one is surpassing Gretzky. And now it is definitely inevitable, it seems.
Yeah, and then you look at what he was able to do at the back half of last year. If you look at his last 30 games overall, he's got 22 goals in 30 games. That's almost a 60-goal pace in his last 30, combining the last two seasons together. And he has, for whatever reason, just taken off back to his usual form. And it's great to see from Alexander Ovechkin there. We'll have some more league-wide talk after the break and chat a little bit more about the Golden Knights and Carolina Hurricanes. Back with more in a moment on Nighttime at Noon at Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Want to keep up with the VGK right at the touch of your screen? Well, now you can with the official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights. You can scan, buy, and transfer tickets, play new exclusive games, access live stats, receive game updates, and so much more. The official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights is available now on your smartphone through the App Store and Google Play. Justin Russo, Jamie Hirsch, back with you on Nighttime at Noon right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas and all across the VGK digital channels. And Jamie, for Military Appreciation Night, lots going on at the arena tonight. Of course, we're going to have a special jersey auction coming up. There's going to be I Salute signs at sections 9 and 10 at the Fortress that fans can fill out to honor the service of military personnel in their lives. Also going to be a check presentation from City National Bank to the Folded Flag Foundation. Just lots going on and a great night to honor those who serve.
It really is. And, you know, I said it earlier in the show, and I'll say it again, is, you know, I have tremendous respect for all our veterans and their families too. And it was great to hear our interview guest earlier saying that it's all about the families too. You know, don't forget them, because they're a part of the people who sacrifice so much for our country. And so on this day and always, you know, we certainly thank all of you out there watching or listening for your service and your sacrifice, and we can't wait to celebrate you tonight.
And speaking more on that jersey auction, they're going to be specially designed jerseys signed by the players available for auction. A portion of the proceeds will be benefiting the Folded Flag Foundation. If you want to participate, you can visit vgkmilitary.givesmart.com or text vgkmilitary to 76278. Auction's going to begin at 5:45 and conclude at 9 o'clock on Monday today. Veterans Day. So you can go to sections 11 and 12 on the concourse if you want to see those jerseys in person. And yeah, it's going to be a lot to give to those at the Folded Flag Foundation, and a fun opportunity for the fans as well.
Yeah, it's great. And we've had a lot of fun little giveaways throughout. I mean, going back to preseason with the little pins.
Oh, yeah.
And then I know it's all about the gravy boat tonight as well. So
that
for anyone who's had the game.
That's the big one.
It looks awesome. I would love to have one. We're hosting Thanksgiving this year.
Okay.
Getting the family all out to Vegas for the first time. And so, I don't know, I'll be in the market for an extra gravy boat if there's one hanging around.
Peek around the fortress tonight, see if you can get your hands on a couple. But, you know, looking back onto the ice tonight for the Vegas Golden Knights and the Carolina Hurricanes. We just heard from Bruce Cassidy talking about the way he wants the team to play. And, you know, the speed of the Hurricanes is so hard to deal with. The Golden Knights can't get caught in that east-west game. It's got to be a more direct kind of game tonight.
Yeah, and they've got to be heads up for guys that are going to stretch it out. I mean, the wingers for the Carolina Hurricanes, they get up the ice quickly. And so, you know, Vegas is a fast team too, right?
Yeah.
Like, they know that they pride themselves on their speed game as well. But it's kind of a different animal, different styles. We heard Bruce Cassidy talking about that man-on-man approach. So we'll see if they can really keep up and hone in on that rush defense as well as possible. Carolina is also a pretty stingy team.
Mm-hmm.
They only allow just over 2.5 goals per game. And so something's got to give, right?
Yep.
You got Vegas scoring over 5 goals a game at home, and then you've got Carolina only allowing about 2.5 per game. I bet that they allow more than 2.5 goals tonight. If you're putting over under at 2.5,
yeah,
I'm taking the over for
Vegas.
I'd
like to think, given what the Golden Knights have done at home recently, and hey, Bruce Cassidy said it himself, you know, what do you do better at home? Well, we score a lot. That's the easy way to win a lot of games at home, and you know, they defended well enough, as he said, to get some of those wins. And I think especially he mentioned the Ottawa and the Utah games, fighting back in those games.
Yeah.
It hasn't all been clear sailing. And, of
right.
course, they've dominated some of the teams that you'd expect them to,
mm-hmm.
and like the likes of San Jose. But they've had to fight back at home and get some of those wins as well. So it's been a good start for the Golden Knights there. He did mention Will Carrier. And I think, you know, Will Carrier, one of those guys that when he signed with Carolina, you're thinking, oh, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense on the fourth line there. He comes back to the fortress tonight. Should be a fun one. We'll see if we see that one-timer that Bruce Cassidy mentioned. But, you know, a fun one for Carrier to come back to the fortress.
Yeah, it's always special. And I feel like, you know, we hear people talk about how much they loved some of those early, you know, original misfits, if you want to say it, or even the guys who may have come second or third year or so on. This fan base adores the players. And
mm-hmm.
so they're going to welcome them back with open arms. They're going to have a nice salute to him, I'm sure, at some point in the game. And he was a beloved member of that championship team. And, you know, I think a lot of people wish those players well, too. And especially with him being in the Eastern Conference, go ahead.
Yeah.
Have a night. Maybe not tonight, but have a night any other night.
Yeah, and you know, he did it perfectly because the Carolina Hurricanes came through the Western Conference a little bit earlier as a part of that 8-game winning streak.
Yeah.
And they took out a lot of teams in the Pacific Division for the Golden Knights, and they did it perfectly to take some wins away from them. So,
and the dads will be in the building,
yes,
is what I'm told. The dads' trip is coming up when they go to Anaheim and Utah, but apparently that kind of starts tonight with the dads in Vegas.
The dad effect in full effect for the Vegas Golden Knights against the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. Jamie, it was fun doing this show today. It was a good one.
Yeah, thanks so much. This was fun.
Fun one today. Thank you to Lexi and to Andrew on the back end as well. Golden Knights and Carolina Hurricanes coming up just a bit later at 7 o'clock from the Fortress as the Golden Knights celebrate Military Appreciation Night. Justin Russo and Jamie Hirsch signing off on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.